VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's a News Roundup Friday here today on Crosstalk. Thanks for tuning in to Crosstalk here today to keep you informed on a number of issues going on. And our issues are very multiple. We're going to cover lots of topics, Lord willing, and present a number of stories here to you today to keep you informed on critical issues. And friends, we're living in dark times. We are indeed. And the importance of our being salt and light in the society around us, people need the Lord. And we can't look to the White House. We can't look to government to be our savior, though there are those who claim we are the saviors. You'll hear that later in the program today. No, Jesus Christ is the Savior. We need to point people to Him, and certainly a true heart change will take place when people meet Him as Savior, and the importance of sharing the gospel, the importance of living the gospel in our lives as well. Well, one of the issues that came on this last week, as LifeNews.com pointed out, was the National Prayer Breakfast, and President Biden encouraged Americans to respect their fellow human beings. That was yesterday morning at the breakfast, to respect your fellow human beings. But at the same time, he's the one that has changed the Mexico City policy, expanding abortion, wants to see abortion available here across these United States. He said, this is not a nation that will stand by and simply watch this. That is not who we are. That is not who faith calls us to be. In this moment, we cannot be timid or tired. There's too much work to be done. It's by our work and not just our words that we're going to be judged. Understand what you're saying, Mr. President. You're saying it's not our work and not our words that are going to be judged. In one of his first acts, he repealed President Trump's efforts to protect unborn babies through the Mexico City policy. He restored taxpayer funding to some of the largest abortion groups in the world, groups that are aborting millions of unborn babies every year and pressure pro-life countries to legalize abortion. Well, it's interesting also from LifeNews.com, the White House Press Secretary, Jen Psaki, said Joe Biden is delivering on his promise of unity and healing and coupled in what by forcing Americans to fund abortions. She was asked about the promise to unify Americans, how orders promoting abortion are divisive to the majority of pro-life Americans who oppose abortion. She defended the executive order. Let's listen in to that news conference at the White House.
Good afternoon. Owen Jensen with EWTN Global Catholic Network. President Biden has stated he wants to unite the country. In the first 2 weeks he's been in office, however, and much to the great disappointment of pro-life Americans, he has revoked the Mexico City policy. He has ordered the review of Title 10 and issued a statement strongly supporting Roe v. Wade. Is the president going to make any effort to reach out to pro-life Americans in his administration?
Well, those have long been the president's positions, and he certainly was just restating them and delivering on promises he made on the campaign trail. But the president will reach out to all Americans, and that is how he's going to govern, what he talked about in his inaugural address, and he has every intention of delivering on that promise.
If I may follow up on that, will he, you described him as a devout Catholic, will he use his faith to guide him in any policy decision making?
He does attend church nearly every weekend, and that's something that's important to him personally and to his family. And he's talked about the impact of his faith on healing and everything he's been through as a human being. So certainly it's a guide to him as a human being.
You know, it's very interesting to know how the media just applaud. He's a devout Catholic, and yet wasn't it Amy Coney Barrett that they took to task for being a devout Catholic? Interesting indeed. Let's also go on from LifeNews.com. As they pointed out during the 2019 campaigning, that Joe Biden referred to us as being saviors around the world, and this is when he was planning to force taxpayers to fund the killing of unborn babies. But the video has resurfaced now, showing him speaking at a Planned Parenthood Action Forum with other Democratic presidential primary candidates in 2019 in South Carolina. Here's what he said.
But the reason you guys are so critically important is because it's not just making reproductive rights available. You're saving a lot of lives by allowing women to come in for preventative care, allowing women to do. And here's what we did. We should get rid of Mexico City all the way, which I've always supported. But here's what Trump's trying to do now. He's not only trying to deal with the $600 million related to Mexico City. We have over $8 billion in health care assistance around the world, and he's trying to apply Mexico City standards to that. It's dead wrong. People are dying around the world. We are their saviors around the world. And look, well, anyway, I'm going, how am I, got 10 seconds left or something?
You know, yeah. So as he's saying we are the saviors around the world, he's pointing at himself, pressing against his chest here. We are the saviors of the world. He also praised Planned Parenthood, which aborts, this is lifenews.com, saying they abort more than 345,000 unborn babies in the United States annually. Interesting indeed. Let's see. Also, lifenews.com, Senate Democrats blocked a request by Republicans to vote on an amendment that would stop infanticide and provide medical care and treatment for babies born alive after botched abortions. It was during consideration of the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill that Senator Ben Sasse, he's a pro-life Republican from Nebraska, filed an amendment to the legislation that would require holding abortionists accountable if they leave a baby who survives abortions to die. However, pro-abortion Senator Dick Durbin, the number two Democrat in the Senate, made a motion against the amendment in an attempt to block a vote on it and claimed it violated said Senate rules. And then you have the likes of Hillary Clinton this past month of January, where she asserted that politicians need to continue the fight to protect abortion, she said, for our grandkids. We need to protect abortion for our grandkids. She said her abortion advocacy is not just for our grandkids, but really for every child to live up to his or her God-given potential. That's what it's all about. Do you notice the contradiction in that, in those terms that are used? We need to protect abortion for our grandkids. We practice abortion, folks. There are no grandkids. Also, lifenews.com, Texas taxpayers once again are being forced to fund Planned Parenthood. In a last-minute effort, Travis County Judge Maya Guerra Gamble blocked Texas from kicking Planned Parenthood out of its Medicaid program Wednesday, just hours after the abortion group filed an emergency petition. Gamble argued that immediate and irreparable harm would result if Texas stopped funding Planned Parenthood. Medicaid is the largest stream of taxpayer funding to Planned Parenthood, and in Texas, that funding was supposed to be cut off starting this week, but Planned Parenthood ran to a Democratic-based judge, and sure enough, got a stay put on that as this process continues. Let's go to South Carolina. National Review reporting, a state senate there has passed a heartbeat bill to prohibit most abortions after the point that a fetal heartbeat can be detected, usually taking place around 6 weeks in gestation. Over the next few weeks, the state house is going to consider the bill, and then it heads to the governor, who has pledged he would sign it into law. The Christian Post telling us about Abby Johnson has a new project helping women seek legal action for post-abortion injuries. It's called Hurt After Abortion. Just launched last month from part of Pro Love Ministries. Pamela Whitehead, who serves as executive director of Hurt After Abortion, says we have a website and the hope is that women who have been physically harmed by having an abortion procedure and who are seeking help in some way would find our site. We offer free legal consultation, and if lawyers decide to take her case, then their services would be free of charge to her. We also offer a referral to an options-based healing network for abortion that would individualize the care to the woman based on her needs. Abby Johnson starting this new project, helping women seek legal help for post-abortion injuries. Also, from lifenews.com, the Honduran National Congress has strengthened pro-life laws last week by amending their constitution to read this: the unborn baby shall be considered as born for all rights accorded within the limits established by law. It is prohibited and illegal for the mother or a third party to practice any form of interruption of life on the unborn, whose life must be respected from conception. They also passed legislation to increase the vote threshold to 75% for Congress to repeal unborn babies' constitutional right to life. LifeNews.com also telling us a change to abortion law in Poland will protect babies with disabilities, including Down syndrome, cleft lip, and cleft palate, came into effect at midnight Wednesday, January 27th. Okay, let's move on to Western Journal. The 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump, nominated again for a Nobel Peace Prize on Sunday. Jake Madison, an Estonian member of the European Parliament, took to Facebook to announce his decision to nominate the former American president for the award. He's got several nominations preceding this. And he said this: "When I submitted a candidate, I justified in the application that this candidate is suitable as follows. Donald Trump is the first president of the United States in the last 30 years whose office the country has not started any war. In addition, several peace agreements have been made under his leadership in the Middle East, which has helped ensure stability in the region and peace," he wrote. Incidentally, a member of Black Lives Matter has also been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Western Journal reporting a voting technology company suing Fox News and three of its hosts and two former lawyers of former President Trump for $2.7 billion, charging that the defendants conspired to spread false claims that the company helped steal the U.S. presidential election. It's a 285-page complaint filed Thursday in New York State court by Florida-based Smartmatic USA, one of the largest libel suits ever undertaken. From the Gateway Pundit, Arizona Senate has drafted a resolution threatening the arrest of Maricopa County Board of Supervisors for not handing over the requested election machines and ballots. For some reason, Maricopa County's Board of Supervisors would rather go to jail than hand over voting machines and ballots in their county to the Arizona Senate for purposes of performing a forensic audit of machines and ballots from the 2020 election. The Senate's demanded access to voting machines and all 2.1 million ballots cast in the elections. The board says we can't comply because ballots are sealed by law. Voting machines that the Senate wants to examine need to remain secure. More than 700,000 Georgians, this is from Breitbart.com, more than 700,000 Georgians who voted in the November election did not turn out for the Senate runoff election, according to analysis from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The analyses reveal that the drop-off in turnout from the November 3rd presidential election to the January 5th runoff election was highest in northwest Georgia and southern Georgia, both Republican-leaning regions of the state. Remember that some of those that were going saying, don't go out, you know, there's so much fraud, don't go and vote, don't go vote, stop the vote, you know, protest the vote? Well, it looks like some 700,000 gave sway to that. Newsmax.com says that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he's reached a two-year power-sharing deal with the Mitch McConnell, formally now giving Democrats committee chairmanships and setting other ground rules, allowing the chamber to begin fully functioning after weeks of procedural limbo. The agreement is based on a 2001 deal reached the last time that there was a 100-member chamber that was divided 50-50. That setup allows for the same number of Republicans and Democrats on committees, so Democrats control committee gavels, and the majority leader set the agenda on the floor. By the way, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot thinks Donald Trump is to blame for the Chicago public schools issue. She didn't invoke his name, but she suggested the ongoing impasse between Chicago public schools and the union over whether it's safe to return to in-person instruction stems from the failed vaccine rollout under President Donald Trump, the Chicago Tribune reported. Isn't that interesting? Talks about the incompetence of the previous administration. I wonder, blaming them for the teachers' strike in Chicago? Not going back to the classrooms, not a strike, not going back to the classrooms. Back in a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are spiders ever found in the fossil record?
Yes, unbelievably, Chris, they are. Not only spiders, but sometimes spider webs are found. A spider and its web was found in amber, which was dated by evolutionists at 190 million years old. Now, I don't buy the date. I think the amber was formed at the time of Noah's flood. But think how silly this makes the millions of years idea look. Spider silk is so fragile, it dehydrates and deteriorates quite quickly. Does anybody really think it's going to last for 190 million years? Chris, a better idea is out there. It's the Back to Genesis idea of creation and the flood.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
We've got a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Our thanks to Sandy for getting these stories put together for us. Karen's on the phones today, Justin in the control room, and continuing on with the broadcast here from Western Journal. Now that Joe Biden's in the White House, there's a lot of talk about what he should do regarding disinformation and, quote, misinformation. Axios noted shortly after Twitter banned former President Trump from the platform that despite much outcry, the U.S. government has done next to nothing to regulate misinformation on large tech platforms, leaving the companies to set their own rules, which are often changed on the fly. The clear message says that should change. Well, the New York Times' Kevin Roos thinks that should go further. He did a survey of experts, one of whom said that it's time for the Biden administration to set up a truth commission on misinformation. Several others said the president needed to appoint a reality czar. Very interesting because, you know, that which is truth is fiction. That which is fiction is truth in our society today. What will they do with scripture itself with this truth commission? The Bible says that, for instance, the taking of innocent human life, that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. The word is truth. What would this truth commission do with that? The collegefix.com reports months after receiving nearly $1 million to study intellectual humility toward political opponents. That's an interesting topic. A professor expressed glee at the death of his political opponents. Mark Alfano, they report, will face no repercussions from Macquarie University because no one has formally complained about his online comments. A spokesman for the institution told the College Fix. The associate professor in the Department of Philosophy shared a January 15th New York Times tweet on the death of a Donald Trump supporter during the January 6th riot outside the Capitol. His tweet, which remains live as of Tuesday, read, "More of this, please." My. Let's move on here to WND.com. Federal judge in Washington last Friday slapped the hand of a former FBI lawyer who altered a key piece of evidence that enabled the Obama administration to obtain warrants to spy on the Trump campaign to advance its now debunked Russian collusion claim. U.S. District Judge James Boasberg issued a sentence of 12 months probation to Kevin Kleinsmith, who confessed to altering an email to make it falsely state that Trump 2016 campaign aide Carter Page did not work with the CIA. Well, Kleinsmith admitted making a false statement, a felony offense that normally carries a term of 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000, yet he only received 12 months probation. Washington Free Beacon tells us that President Biden canceled a Monday trip to the State Department. This was going to be his first major foreign policy address. But it was rescheduled due to inclement weather, a White House official said, citing 2 inches of snow that fell in Washington, D.C. Had to cancel the speech. 2 inches of snow. Come here to Wisconsin. Let's go on to the Epoch Times. President Biden has proclaimed a commitment to embed equity ideology throughout the government, saying we need to make the issue of racial equity not just an issue for any one department of government. It has to be the business of the whole of government. He said in remarks January 26 before signing an executive order and 3 memoranda. In a related release, the administration said the systemic racism and discrimination in our economy, laws, and institutions have put the premise of America out of reach for too many families of color, promising to take steps to root out inequity from our economy. Equity is a concept tied to the critical theory which slices up society into identity groups. Well, here's another case of unity. Newsbusters.org reports that the liberal cancel culture has apparently found a new target. You never believe this, folks. It's the White House sign language interpreter. Because she seems to have worked for a conservative video maker, that means her position as a sign language interpreter, despite being fully qualified, is now intolerable. Time Magazine, outraged over this right-wing sign language interpreter that they find so disturbing due to her unacceptable personal opinions. Time writer Abigail Abrams warned President Biden's first White House sign language interpreter has ties to the far right. We understand that her position may be in jeopardy. CNSNews.com, Senator Joe Manchin mentioned this past Tuesday, "I respectfully disagree with the president and the executive order on doing away with the Keystone Pipeline." He said, "I have seen a train blow up in West Virginia carrying that crude. I've seen tanker cars explode going through towns. It's much safer in that pipeline than it is coming across the road or the rail. If they think they're going to stop that product, that's a heavy crude we need in our refineries. The bottom line is this, that I'm all in energy person. We have to have energy basically and not depend on foreign energy, so we have to have the heavy crude. I'd rather have it come from Canada than I would from Venezuela." Senator Manchin of West Virginia, and also we have Senator Tester out of Montana. It's a red state Democrat, has come out against President Biden's decision to kill the Keystone. Democratic Senator John Tester criticized his party's leader. He was on CNN. He said, "I've been a supporter of the Keystone Pipeline, and there's been two caveats that have been basic caveats. You do it in the safest standards, and you respect private property rights." Well, let's stay on this energy. This is really amazing. This came through Fox News this week. President Biden has recently appointed climate czar John Kerry, who took a private jet to Iceland in 2019 to receive the Arctic Circle Award for climate leadership. He defended his pollution ride at the time. Again, folks, he took a private jet to Iceland to receive an award for climate leadership. He called it the only choice for somebody like me who's traveling the world to win this battle. Let's listen as he was questioned by a reporter.
On that issue, pollution, I understand that you came here with a private jet. Is that an environmental way to travel?
If you offset your carbon, it's the only choice for somebody like me who is traveling the world to win this battle. I negotiated the Paris Accords for the United States. I've been involved in this fight for years. I negotiated with President Xi to bring President Xi to the table so we could get Paris. And I believe the time it takes me to get somewhere, I can't sail across the ocean. I have to fly to meet with people and get things done. But what I'm doing almost full time is working to win the battle of climate change. And in the end, if I offset and contribute my life to do this, I'm not going to be put on the defensive.
Yeah, it's okay for people like me. It's the only choice for somebody like me. You know, that's the same kind of thing we heard from, was it Mayor Lightfoot, why she had to go get her hair done? It's important for people like me to look good. Well, he's defending the use of a private jet to fly all the way to Iceland in order to receive an award on his battling of climate change. Think that one through. Let's go to AmericanGreatness.com. Republican Utah Senator Mitt Romney is far more popular with Democrats and unaffiliated voters than he is in his own party, the Daily Caller reports. The 2012 Republican presidential nominee has an impressive 84% approval rating among Utah Democrats. Only a third of GOP voters approve of what he is doing. Epoch Times says that the House has adopted a resolution to remove Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene from two committees, post over her comments, her past comments and actions. Yesterday's vote on the Democrat-based resolution was 230 to 199, largely on party lines. Three lawmakers did not vote. 11 Republicans joined Democrats in voting yes to remove her from committee. She had been assigned to the House Budget Committee and the House Education and Labor Committee. Epoch Times also reporting Democratic Congress leaders on Monday introduced a budget resolution that will let lawmakers pass a fresh COVID-19 relief package without any Republican support. Now, keep in mind, this coming COVID relief package is going to have a whole lot that is not COVID related to it. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi announced this joint budget resolution. It's their first step in enacting a budget reconciliation bill, which would let Democrats pass the package even if no Republicans back it, because they hold majorities in both the House and the Senate. Just watch, put on your seatbelts, because there is going to be a lot that is going to be put into this bill, a lot of policy issues, a lot of leftist liberals' wish list in a COVID relief package coming to a country near you. Washington Times tells us that the Democratic-led Congress pressured President Biden yesterday to unilaterally cancel up to $50,000 of federal student debt loan, with establishment liberals joining the party's far-left squad to demand quick debt relief. Chuck Schumer joined the left-leaning lawmakers, calling for a resolution for the president to eliminate student debt for every federal borrower through executive action. How can he do this, folks? How can he do this? This is not constitutional. Chuck Schumer said this loan holds people back from buying cars and from going on vacations. Folks, these are decisions people make to take out a student loan. And he's worried that this keeps people from buying a car or going on a vacation. He said it would be a huge push into our economy. More than 90% of student borrowers have federal loans, not private loans. That's because the government has taken these over. The resolution does not include an income cap for borrowers eligible for debt cancellation, but they're pushing the president to unilaterally cancel up to $50,000 of student federal loan debt. Let's go to the state of Kansas. The governor there sent out a press release dated February 1st. Governor Laura Kelly announcing legislation to expand Medicaid. Are you listening, Kansas? Expand Medicaid and provide health insurance for 165,000 Kansans. The legislation also establishes a regulatory framework to make Kansas the 48th state to legalize medical marijuana, saying we need to use every tool at our disposal to protect the health of our workforce and our economy, the governor said. By combining broadly popular common sense medical marijuana policy with our efforts to expand Medicaid, the revenue from the bill will pay for expansion. Townhall.com, Beth Baumann writes that Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was caught in a lie about her experiences during the Capitol riot January 6. AOC had gone into great detail about her experiences during the riot, making it sound as though she had firsthand encounters with rioters breaking into her Capitol into the Capitol building. But it's turned out not to be true. Turns out AOC wasn't in the Capitol building at the time of the assault on Congress. She was in her office in another building entirely. Her congressional office is in the Cannon House office building, according to her website. And we have another office member of hers just a couple doors down, indicating that AOC was not in the Capitol. Newsmax.com, China could be looking to collect DNA of Americans and then use the information to monopolize or control critical medical supplies, a former U.S. intelligence expert says. This is Bill Evanina, the director of the National Counterintelligence and Security Center in the Trump administration, said that offers by the Chinese company BGI Group, it's the largest biotech firm in the world, to set up testing labs shortly after the outbreak of the novel coronavirus were alarming. The state of Washington was the first state that BGI approached, followed by five other states, including New York and California. It was so disturbing, he said, that he authorized a rare public warning that said foreign powers can collect, store, and exploit biometric information from COVID tests. Partially due to the warning, none of the states accepted the offer from BGI. But former intelligence officials saying China wants to collect Americans' DNA. We're up against a break. We'll have a few more stories following the break. We'll give you some time as well on the phones here in a short while. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5, or 5 copies for a donation of $18, 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America and the News Roundup Day here today. Thank you for tuning in, and thank your station for carrying Crosstalk. Certainly let your station manager know how much you appreciate the broadcast. A few more stories here from The Hill. Elon Musk could start implanting computer chips into humans' brains this year. A San Francisco-based startup, co-founded by Musk in 2016, aiming to implant a computer interface in the human brain to help treat neurological conditions like Alzheimer's, dementia, and spinal cord injuries. Musk said that trials could potentially start later this year. This brain-computer interface startup, Neuralink, could kick off human trials as early as this year if things go well, he said. This was founded in 2016. And in the long term, the company is looking to achieve a degree of symbiosis between humans and artificial intelligence. From PJ Media, on Sunday, a group of homeless activists who dressed up in Antifa-style black bloc entered the lobby of the Red Lion Hotel in Olympia, Washington, demanding the hotel open rooms for homeless people. Antifa agitators allegedly assaulted an employee while other employees hid in a basement room for more than 6 hours. Well, police eventually secured the hotel, but in the skirmish, agitators did chant out, "Pigs in a blanket, fry 'em like bacon." That's a death threat against police officers. The Antifa agitators organized with the group Housing Now! Occupied the hotel after advocates had booked some 17 rooms and then demanded Thurston County continue to pay for the room with federal emergency management money, FEMA funding. The Olympia Police Department estimated about 45 Antifa agitators stormed the hotel, both inside and outside the building. Chiming in on this from WND.com, at least one employee was assaulted. At least 7 were taken into custody. Employees reported that some of the members of the activist group inside the hotel were armed with items like hatchets, batons, knives, had gas masks, helmets, and goggles, apparently in preparation for a confrontation. Doesn't look like the attire of homeless individuals on the street. Emma Veit of the Housing Now said that her group is just ready to stand our ground and doesn't mean any harm. Don't mean any harm. Well, why are you carrying hatchets and batons and knives? Why are you wearing gas masks, helmets, goggles? From PoliceTribune.com, a controversial bill making its way through the Maryland State House that would take school resource officers, SROs, out of uniform and out of school buildings across the state because their presence is, quote, traumatizing to minority students. Maryland Senate Bill 245 would prohibit school resource officers from entering a school building except under certain circumstances and require them to wear civilian clothing and to conceal their guns. Townhall.com, Katie Pavlich writes that President Joe Biden signed a series of illegal immigration executive orders from the White House Tuesday evening, inching the total number of executive actions to nearly 50 since taking office just 2 weeks ago. That is more than Donald Trump and Barack Obama did together. I want to make it clear there's a lot of talk with good reason about the number of executive orders that I sign. Hey, listen to this. I'm not making the law. I'm eliminating bad policy, Biden proclaimed. The first order established a task force to reunite children with their parents after they were separated at the border. The order does not address the fact that many parents traveling across the border with children are being trafficked and are not related to the adult that's accompanying them. Well, the second action addressed the root cause of migration to our southern border. And the third order to be signed in full review of the previous administration's harmful and counterproductive immigration policies. Republican lawmakers pushing back on that. And folks, here is one of the reasons why this action is so important. This was on Epoch Times, February 4. The U.S. Customs Office and Border Protection said its agents arrested a group of 11 Iranians who illegally entered the U.S. According to a news release from the agency, agents saw the group near San Luis, Arizona, on a bridge. Border Patrol agents then determined that the group had illegally crossed the international border into the U.S. The group was arrested, taken to the Yuma station, 11 Iranians illegally entering the U.S. Also, another reason why that's important, WND.com, the number of migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border growing as they hope for a major immigration policy shift under the Biden administration. Arrests have drastically increased at certain sectors of the border, and an asylum camp in one of the communities is growing in numbers. It's been growing because people think that if you're in a camp, you'll be able to enter the United States first. That's what a Honduran asylum seeker told Reuters. Matt Staver from Liberty Council reported this week of a victory for Indiana nativity scene there. The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in favor of a nativity scene displayed annually at the Jackson County Courthouse. The Seventh Circuit said that the nativity scene is constitutional. So we said, they wrote, we conclude that the county's nativity scene is constitutional because it fits within a long national tradition of using the nativity scene in broader holiday displays to celebrate the origins of Christmas, a public holiday. Okay, that's a troubling story here from the Epoch Times. 64 people arrested, two women rescued in an anti-human trafficking sting in California's Riverside County. The sheriff's department there said the arrests were part of Operation Reclaim and Rebuild, which an annual statewide operation. The sting ran for four consecutive days. 64 people arrested. Two women were rescued. Moving on to a couple of stories. This troubling out of Australia. A Christian group is speaking out as there's calls to teach Satanism in Australian schools. An Australian group has spoken out after calls to include Satanism lessons in religious instruction in an Australian state. The shocking move has been made by a former candidate, Robin Bristow, who's been calling for the state of Queensland to include the teaching in government school. Parents have applauded Queensland Educational Minister Grace for her swift response on the issue, saying there's nothing but a stunt here. Satanism has never been taught in Queensland schools, and it will never be under my watch, she said. Nonetheless, the group is calling for Satanism to be taught in the schools. By the way, let's go to Maryland. A Montgomery County, Maryland public health official indicated that public school teachers who are teaching remotely will receive priority access to the COVID-19 vaccine over private school teachers who are teaching in person. And LifeSiteNews.com, the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, has said that unless everybody is vaccinated for COVID-19, then nobody will be safe. Despite numerous deaths, serious side effects, and unknown consequences on fertility resulting from the vaccines, Schwab has long welcomed the arrival of COVID-19, saying that the disruption which has been caused was a unique window of opportunity in which to bring about the Great Reset. We must build a new social contract. We must change our mindsets and our lifestyles, he has remarked. In his recent book, COVID-19, The Great Reset, Schwab pointed to regular vaccinations as the only way in which to exit the vicious cycle of lockdown restrictions. Matter of fact, President Biden is seeking a one-month delay of Major League Baseball season so that vaccinations can be conducted. We understand there's been rejection or has been certainly adverse reaction to that from the president. LifeSiteNews.com says there were at least 271 deaths and 9,845 adverse effects after COVID vaccination so far. This is according to CDC data. Let me again repeat. At least 271 deaths, 9,845 adverse effects. The data indicates that the deaths reported by the Vaccine Injury Tracking System for the U.S. Centers for Disease Control mostly occurred within 48 hours of the vaccine being administered. But according to ABC News, they've done a fact check saying there's no link between COVID-19 vaccines and those who died after receiving them. The CDC hasn't identified any cases in which a vaccine caused a person's death. LifeNews.com, a state judge has ruled that Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, that his health department broke the law by refusing to provide a government watchdog group with the total nursing home death toll from COVID. He's ordered Cuomo to release the figures within 5 days. The story came out February 3rd. Albany Superior Court Justice Kimberly O'Connor criticized Governor Cuomo for telling the Empire's Center for Public Policy that it was unable to respond to the Freedom of Information Law request since it was filed 6 months ago. CDC also saying it's now a federal crime in the U.S. to use public transportation without wearing a face mask. LifeSiteNews.com. The CDC issued a statement last Friday which revealed broad federal regulations regarding the use of face masks on public transport, requiring face masks to be worn by all travelers while on public transportation. That includes all passenger and all personnel operating conveyances. People must wear masks that completely cover both the mouth and nose while awaiting, boarding, disembarking, or traveling on airplanes, ships, ferries, trains, subways, buses, taxis, and ride shares like Uber, the CDC announced, laying out the extensive new measures. It also extends to transportation hubs, airports, bus or ferry terminals, train and subway stations, seaports, and other locations. The CDC did offer a small number of exceptions for wearing masks, including while eating, drinking, or taking medication for brief periods of time. Those who are unconscious for reasons other than sleeping or are incapacitated or unable to be awakened or otherwise unable to remove the mask without assistance also are exempt. According to the regulations, children older than 2 will be forced to wear a mask. A person with a disability who cannot wear a mask or cannot safely wear a mask for reasons related to the disability is exempt from the mask mandate, as are children younger than 2. Let's open some phone lines here today as time is going so quickly by. Our number to Crosstalk, if you want to comment on some of these stories or other current event news stories, our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Our number here today to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. PJ Media reporting last week, Dr. Anthony Fauci claimed on NBC's Today that wearing 2 masks just makes common sense. I mean, it's a physical covering to prevent droplets and virus to get in. So if you have a physical covering with one layer and you put on another layer, it just makes common sense that it likely would be more effective, he said. 5 days after saying that double masking was common sense, he seemed to walk back that statement, saying there are many people who feel, you know, if you really want to have an extra bit of protection, maybe I should put 2 masks on. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's no data that indicates that that's going to make a difference. And that's the reason why the CDC has not changed their recommendations. United Airlines CEO says mandatory vaccines will become what most companies do. It's a speech to business leaders in Chicago. United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby said he expects business to demand employees be vaccinated and that people will be accepted just as they have accepted wearing masks. According to the Economic Club of Chicago on Tuesday, Kirby pushed the mandatory vaccines for employees, saying it will just become what's expected and what most companies do. He said that he supports the introduction of vaccine passports not only for air travel, but for everyday activities such as attending concerts or going to the cinema. It gives people a pretty strong incentive because that's the way they can get their life back, Kirby proclaimed. We're going to take a quick break here, and friends, our lines are open here today to Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on these stories, our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Recently, I had in my TV studio and on my radio show an attorney from Michigan, Matt DiPerno. Matt is the only attorney in the United States of America to get a court order to do a forensic audit of Dominion voting machines. He reported to us that after having a forensic audit done by experts, they found many problems with the Dominion machines, including, he reported, a 68% failure rate. He also said that when they went in there to look at the machines, the logs, like the system files, the adjudication files, the log files, they were gone. We also find, he says, that even blank ballots that are shoved through the machine are counted as a vote, and then they're sent to what's called adjudication, where someone or a group of people decide who they think you meant to vote for. We have a serious problem with our voting system in America, and the American people must demand free and fair elections to be a free and fair country.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. By the way, the CDC has a new section to its website called Safer Ways to Enjoy the Super Bowl. And on there, it talks about people should gather virtually. And when you watch the Super Bowl, have safer celebrations. Avoid shouting. Avoid cheering loudly or singing. Instead, you should clap or stomp your feet or bring handheld noisemakers instead. And other contact information there as well. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to New York, and Diane is calling. Hi, Diane, you're on the air.
Hi. If they want transgenders to engage in sports so much, why don't they make a separate transgender division?
Yeah, some have recommended that, kind of like a mixed division, but they said that that is being discriminatory because if somebody truly identifies as the opposite sex, opposite, you know what they are, then they should be able to participate, and that's denying them that ability. Does that make sense? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Prosser Washington and Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I am calling. I just wondered if you could give some guidance or somewhere to start it for legal counsel and guidance if my company starts to enforce forced vaccinations.
I would suggest you reach out to the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org.
Okay.
And I think they may, we've had Barbara Lowe Fisher on this program before, and they might be able to guide you as to legal help in there. I know that's happening in some areas. I saw it for a nursing home. This is an emergency use. And according to law, we understand you cannot mandate an emergency use vaccine because it's not gone through the same rigors to the full extent as normal use. But you may check with them to inquire as far as, legal help with that.
Great. Thank you. You said it's NVIC.org?
Yes, it stands for National Vaccine Information Center.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. Tim is calling next from Manchester, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes. My question is about the coronavirus. Has anyone ever addressed it as being domestic terrorism? Because there would be no other way for the mail-in ballots for the election to be allowed if it wasn't for coronavirus.
So you're saying calling the virus itself domestic terrorism?
Yes, from China. I mean, it allowed for the mail-in ballots, which there's no way Trump mm-hmm. would have lost without it.
Okay. And at the same time, under the Biden administration, they forbid anybody calling it China virus or Wuhan virus, doesn't want the geography mentioned with it. Thank you, Tim. It's an interesting perspective. Let's go to Rob in Pennsylvania. Rob, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just want to make a comment. As an immunizing pharmacist, I know your program does shed a lot of negative light on the COVID vaccine, but it is still a relatively safe and effective vaccination. Vaccinations have been around for many years. Although it was brought to the market quickly, they mm-hmm. have a lot of information and a lot of experience that goes behind it. Mm-hmm. So and I just wanted to bring that to your
great.
Experience.
Great. And Rob, if you would explain, what do you mean by relatively safe, Rob?
Relatively safe.
Yeah, what define that. What do you mean, relatively safe?
It's got a very low incidence of side effects, no more than Shingrix vaccination or other vaccinations.
Okay, so
I've been immunizing for 10 years.
Sure.
I've been immunizing with the pneumonia vaccination, with Shingrix, with the Zostavax vaccination, with the mumps, rubella, measles. They're all relatively safe, and a lot of them have eradicated diseases. So I just would hope that you're not turning people off to the vaccination. Listen, have a good weekend. Thanks.
Okay, Rob, and can you... Hello, Rob? Oh, Rob hung up. I was going to ask some more questions here of him. Nate in Appleton, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to respond to the two previous calls ago when there was a question regarding remedy for employers attempting to enforce mandatory vaccinations. And I'm glad you pointed out the emergency use. That's a very good point. If somehow there's an executive order number 65 that comes along from our current president and gets away with that situation and gives employers the power to enforce vaccinations, which could be a possibility, we do have uniform commercial code or constitutional law or contract law that's typically understood. And so if our employer says, here, you got to get this vaccination, you can simply provide them with a notice of liability.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a notice where the employer will take on full liability since the manufacturers of the vaccine have no liability. And in the case of injury, which is very common, the person would have some source of remedy. Now, generally, employers and doctors refuse to sign those things and thereby get the person out of the forced vaccine. I'm not sure if that's going to continue, but it's definitely a possible legal remedy, and that's notice of liability.
Thank you for your call here today. Folks, I am not giving advice whether you should or should not get a vaccine. That's not what we're doing at all. But I believe that people should have choice in this. Should they not? Should they not have choice? Let's see. Isn't there somebody who said, my body, my choice? Where does that come from? Oh, yeah. To give people a choice whether they want that or the vaccine or not. That's a perspective that I would hold where people have that opportunity to say yes or to say no. Naomi in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm really confused. Why don't they follow Biology 101 and give women their sports back?
That's a great point, because you're either male or female, you're either XX or XY, and follow the science. We hear that all the time.
It's only fair.
Yep, indeed. Thank you, Naomi. And our last caller today from Wisconsin. Anthony, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, just a comment. Hey, praise the Lord for all what you do. Thanks a lot. Just a comment on the gal called in about the LGBTV. You know, why don't they get their own league? And you mentioned it would be discriminatory, but aren't there gay bars and gay and lesbian taverns? Thanks a lot. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, yes, indeed there are, and I don't know that that they limit that you may only be of that sexual preference or not. I don't know. I've never been in one, never care to go to one, and never plan to. So, you're right. We see this pushing of the LGBT agenda, as we talked with Peter LaBarber yesterday. You must have it. You must have this, you know, taught your children, be taught in the schools. And when you file for an exemption on that, then you're the one that is taken to task by the school or the authorities in that regard. Well, lots of issues here this week, folks, and pray for one another. Pray for our leaders in our country. Pray for our president. Pray for his cabinet. Pray for the Senate as they go through these picks. But pray for this this trial that's supposed to be happening next week in D.C. as well. Pray regarding the coronavirus. Certainly there are those that are suffering from it. And certainly the virus is one that has impacted many. And be praying regarding that as well. My time is gone. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk. Trust that you'll be in church this Sunday.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.